Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll turn to page 30 in our course books and sing Living by Faith. Page 30 in our course books.
I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth for everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love,
yes, in His great love,
safe from all harm, in His sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love,
yes, in His great love,
safe from all harm, in His sheltering arm. I'm living by faith. I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Living by
faith
in Jesus
above,
trusting, confiding in His great love,
yes, in His great love,
safe from all harm, in His sheltering
arm.
I'm living by faith.
Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore.
Living by faith Jesus
above,
trusting,
confiding
in His great love,
yes, in His great love,
safe from all harm,
in His sheltering arm.
I'm living by faith.
Be seated. We'll sing hymn number 351. 351.
Jesus, keep
me near the cross.
There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from till my raptured soul shall find
rest
beyond the river. Sheds its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. Till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever.
Our glory's not in the cross, though, don't we?
Yeah, in Christ.
I'd like to read from Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We'll read the parable of the prodigal son, verse 11 through the end of the chapter. But before we read that, we'll read. Look at the beginning of the chapter. Then drew near unto him, unto our Lord Jesus Christ, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Verse 11. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. Almighty God, our Father, we come to you, Lord, with humbled hearts, feeble, trembling hearts, Lord. We come into your presence. Yet boldly we come through thy precious Son. Father, thank you for allowing us to the great privilege of prayer. Thank you for the privilege of gathering to hear your word taught, hear it preached, hear it proclaimed. Lord, Lord, we thank you for this gathering of saints. Lord, we thank you for your tender mercies, for thy loving care. Father, we thank you that you're so good to us. To say we're undeserving is an understatement. Mm-hmm. You give us the opposite of what we deserve. Lord, we thank you that you saw fit to choose a multitude of wretched sinners to show mercy to. We thank you for free mercy and grace, for amazing grace. Lord, I ask that you would send your Spirit among us. Bless this service tonight. Bless those who are here and bless those who are listening who are unable to be here. Lord, I know if a great many dear brothers and sisters that are weak and weary and going through trials and tribulation and faint of heart and a soul rotten flesh, Lord, I'm sure that there are many more. Lord, please do for them only what you can do. If it would please you, Lord, to send them mercies, be their strength and their stay, comfort their hearts and their souls, Lord, cause them to look unto thee. Pray for those who are traveling, and Lord, that you would just keep us all. Keep us coming to hear the gospel. Lord, we thank you for our pastor, who's always so faithful to us to study and prepare and stand here and proclaim. Stand here and tell us the truth. Lord, we ask that you would bless him tonight as he stands here once more. Bless the message to our hearts as it would please you, Lord. Cause your word to go forth. Lord, we pray that you would revive us, that you would send your word through this town, through this state, all through the nation, all over the world.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, cause a great revival. But Lord, whatever thy will be, cause us to praise you for it. Cause us to do thy will, Lord, and we pray that thy will be done for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Hymn number 236. Amazing Grace, 236.
Appear.
Read about the prodigal. Oh, my, I love that. Love it. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We've done a couple of nights of introduction to this book. Now we'll deal with some things as we go through it. Tonight I want to give you a fourfold description of God's preacher or God's apostle. Paul, the apostle. And let me read the first seven verses. Let me tell you something. These first seven verses is one sentence. Just one sentence. And the first verse, is the second verse, is in parentheses. But it's just one sentence. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are all ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to take these verses, just a few of them, and talk about a fourfold description of God's preacher. And Paul, in writing to the Roman church, the Roman believer, people that were in Rome, he's addressing people to whom he's never personally met, never has personally met. And they're unknown to him. And he's actually unknown to them. And he, naturally, by God's grace, he wants to win their confidence. He wants to win their goodwill so that they'll listen to his message. Listen to his message. He wants nothing, nothing in himself. If he could possibly help it, nothing in himself to hinder the gospel. Nothing in himself to hinder the reception of his message. And Rome at this time was the capital of the whole world. Rome was the capital of the whole world. Rome ruled the world from Rome, at that the known world at that particular time. And so he's going to the capital. And since he was unknown to these Roman believers, these Roman Christians, he endeavors to present himself and his credentials. His credentials. And not, like I said, the first seven verses is just one sentence. And you know, the apostle, though he went and sat before Gamaliel when he was a young man, I remember Tim James, when he first started in Cherokee, a woman asked him, said, did you ever go to seminary? And he says, no, ma'am, ain't been no seminary. She said, do you think it helped you or hindered you? He said, I think it helped. I think it helped. And I think it helped. And you know, Paul, he as a young man, he sat before Gamaliel, which was a Pharisee. And he was a Pharisee. But here he comes to, he's preaching to people and writing a letter to people that he don't know personally, and they don't know him personally. And so he was unknown, and he endeavors to give his credentials to let them know who he is and what God called him to do. And he gives a fourfold description of himself. Verse 1 and verse 7 are connected. You can read it like this. We'll leave the rest of it off. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. See the parentheses? And then he goes down to say, to all that be in Rome. You start in 1, go to 7. And you could do that. But we're not going to do that because we got these verses in between. And Paul, the first thing he says is, Paul. You know, his name was Saul. He's actually Saul from Tarsus. And he was a Jew, that's his Jewish name, Saul. Paul is his Roman name. Paul is the name that's given to him as a Gentile. And he was Saul. He was, you know, Saul, he said he was of the tribe of Benjamin. King Saul, he was also of the tribe of Benjamin. So he might have been named after King Saul. But anyway, he calls himself Paul. He uses Gentile name, and look what he says, a servant of Jesus Christ. It's the first thing about him. He said, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. And when you see that word servant, it's also the same word as a slave, a slave. And he looked at himself and his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked at himself as one that was bought, a purchased possession. One who Christ had bought and paid for. And I tell you, he looked at the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and as his master. He was his absolute master and his Lord. And he considered himself the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even when he was in prison, he didn't say, I'm a prisoner of Rome. He said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He considered himself so united to Christ and such a servant to Christ that he was the property of Christ. He could, Christ was his Lord and Master. And I tell you what, he sought everything and everywhere he went, he said, I'm in the service of Christ. He is my Master. So I do what he tells me to do. I go where he sends me. I say what he tells me to say. And I tell you, he had absolute loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was conscious of his Christ owning him, lock, stock, and barrel. He absolutely, Lord, you're my master. You're my master. And you know, when you're a slave, when he said he was the bond slave of Christ, you know, a bond slave, a servant, he owned nothing. He absolutely owned nothing. He was nothing, considered nothing, apart from his master. His identity was with his master. He didn't have nothing of his own. He didn't own nothing. He belonged to his master. His time, his strength, everything belonged to another. To another. And I tell you, you know, I've showed you time and again where when a bond slave was owned by a man, and that bond slave, his time after 7 years, he is supposed to go out free. But if he loved his master and his master was good, they would take him to the door and put a hole in his ear, put an awl in his ear. And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ is saying here. Paul is saying here, I have nothing of my own. He's just my master. Everything I have, I owe to him. I have nothing. I know I am nothing apart from him. And I tell you, to him, there was nothing more honorable, nothing more noble than Paul to call himself a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, these politicians, they call time to tell you, say, we're public servants. Yeah, listen to the, wait till the next lie they tell you. But I'm telling you what, Paul was really, really a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, he desired to do nothing, be nothing, to own nothing apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And to Paul, this was real freedom. This was real freedom. To him, it was real freedom. And oh, he said, I'm a servant. I'm a servant, a bond slave of servant. Then look what else he said there in verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And listen to what he says. Now, this is the second thing about him. Called to be an apostle. Called to be an apostle. Now, I tell you, he did not take this upon himself. He did not get up one day and said, I'm going to be an apostle. He didn't get up one day and said, I'm going to be a preacher. He didn't get up one day and say, I'm going to follow Christ. No, no, it was not his own commission that he did this work. His apostleship came directly from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now you keep Romans, look in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. Look in Galatians chapter 1. You know, there's people that call themselves apostles now. There's no such thing as an apostle now. There's no prophets now. There's preachers now. There's preachers, and they have to be called. They don't take it upon themselves. But his apostleship came directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he said here in verse 1 of Galatians. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Man didn't do this for me. Man didn't do this for me. He was sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. He had his authority from the Lord Jesus Christ. He had his doctrine directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had a special power to work miracles and to do things that nobody else could ever possibly do. You look at what the apostles, look what Simon Peter did. He raised a woman from the dead. And he'd go by his shadows and people would be healed. Paul raised a young man from the dead. He cast out demons with his word. He healed so many people. They took clothes off of his body and used them and gave them to people, and they would actually be healed that way. And I know that there's people today, and they'll say, I've got this holy water, and I've got this handkerchief I've prayed off her. You send me $100, and I'll send it to you, and you'll be blessed. No, these fellas had a special power that nobody else had. They had power. They had power in their preaching. They had power in their ministries. They had power to heal. They had power to... They could give sight to the blind. Sight to the blind. Our Lord himself said, he said, you're going to do greater works than I did. Now, how could they do greater works than he did? Because they reached more people than he did. He stayed in one particular area, his old ministry. But Paul went all over the known world at that time. And they preached to so many more people. Done so many things that our Lord Jesus did. And Paul, he had a call. He had a threefold call. There was three things that he talks about being called. You know when the first time he talks about being called? He said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me. By his grace. That's where he started. When he separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. And the second call was on the Damascus Road. And I tell you what, you know why God Christ met him on the Damascus Road? Because he separated him from his mother's womb. And on the Damascus Road, as he is on his way to mistreat the Lord's people, he hated Christ at that time. And about that time, Christ brought him down. Christ put him down. Christ called him. And he said, Saul, Saul, called him by his Jewish name. Christ, you know, he said, my sheep hear my voice. He said, I know them, I know, and listen, he said, Saul, Saul, that's the first thing he told him. Called him by his name. What are you doing? What do you think you're doing? You think you can win? You think you can fight against me? You think you can kick against me? You think that the pricks ain't going to hurt you? He said, listen, He went blind and was blind for 3 days. Blind as a bat for 3 days. And oh my, you know, that was his first calling, second calling, when he was called on the Damascus Road. He was actually called out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ. How can he be made blind and yet see Christ at the same time? Christ can do that. We can't do it, but he can. And then when he had his eyes open, you know the first thing they told him? He said, the God of our fathers has chosen you, that you might see that just one. You might know his will. And you're going to suffer for me. And then the third call was, you all remember in the book of Acts, when Acts 13, when him and Barnabas was down to Antioch, and they said, separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I've called them. So that's three callings that he had in his life. And they said, separate them to the calling whereunto I've called them. And all these were his credentials. He was a servant. He was an apostle. And he claimed no human merit. He occupied no human position. He occupied a place where God set him. He occupied something that only God could do for him. And you know, now when the apostles got together in Acts chapter 1, after Christ ascended, they decided that they needed another apostle after Judas was found out to be a demon, be a devil. And they said, well, we're going to have another apostle. So they got together and they drew lots and they called a fellow named Matthias and set him aside to be an apostle. But you know who took, you know, the 12th apostle, who the really 12th apostle was? Paul. You never hear about Matthias. You never hear anything about him. But you hear about Paul. Once God saved him on the Damascus Road, he's constantly, constantly in the Scriptures, constantly. And oh, now, then not only is he called a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle, but look what else it says he is. Separated unto the gospel of God. God separated him. And he told him, I separate him for the work that I've called him to do. And he's separated unto the gospel as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. He had a specific work that God separated him to do. He had been separated to what? The gospel. The gospel. He said, he called me by separating me unto the gospel. And there's nothing in this world that God, there's not a higher calling in this world than to be called a preacher. And that's what Paul felt about his whole life. He felt, this is the most high honor that I could ever possibly be bestowed upon me, to be separated unto the gospel of God. Now, I heard a preacher, and he's a very good preacher and extremely, extremely popular. Extremely popular. You know, he'll have a sermon and he'll preach a sermon and there'll be 4,000 or 5,000 downloads of that one sermon. I mean, he's extremely popular. And I heard, you know, he said he's going to preach the gospel. And he preached the gospel. He went down through, I mean, he was nailing it down one right after another. It was right. Good, 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 good. Oh, it was wonderful. Then he got down to his last point. And you know what it was? Separate yourself from the world. Separate yourself from out here in the world. Be different from the world. And he started talking about how women ought to act and how men ought to act and how everybody ought to act as a Christian and all that. And he started talking about, and this separation meant that you separated in the way you dress and the way you act as a wife, the way you act as a husband. Killed that whole message. When Paul talks about separation, you know what he's talking about? The gospel. What did God separate us to? Separation is, beloved, God separate him, set him apart. He set him apart, separated him. That's what it means, set apart. And he separated him to the gospel. And what gospel? The gospel of God. God commissioned him. God said, listen, now you're going to be an apostle. I'm going to use you. Consecrated him, set him apart. And oh my, and consequently, he concentrated on one thing and devoted his life to one thing, the gospel. The gospel. He told the Corinthians, he said, I don't want to know a thing in the world among you, not nothing among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. You know, the gospel is, and this is something that, and we'll deal with it in a little while, but boy, to be separated to the gospel. You know, Paul or any other preacher that's been separated by God Almighty to set apart to preach the gospel, and like Paul was, you'd have to step down. You know, if they offered you the position of the United States of America, if somebody come along and offered you all the money you could never spend in five lifetimes, it would be nothing compared to the gospel. Nothing. You can't buy this kind of separation. You wouldn't do it for yourself. You wouldn't decide, I want to be a priest. You wouldn't decide, I want to be an apostle. You wouldn't decide, I want to separate myself to the gospel. Only person can do that is God Almighty. And that's why he said, separate unto the gospel of God. Set him apart. Here, Paul, I got one thing for you. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. That's all I want you to do. And that's all he did. And then look what it says here. And this is the fourth thing. He said down in verse 5. So he's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's an apostle. He's been separated under the gospel of God. And then look what it says. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now everything he got, it says, you notice it said there, he received. He received. This verse describes how God provided for him to become an apostle, to be provided for him to what the work that he called him to do, carry out his work. I think you would call that apostolic grace. We have received grace. We have received grace. You know, grace was always a characteristic of Paul's life and his work. You know, most folks, when in 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul's talking about grace. Most folks say, he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. But that's not why he starts it. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He starts out with grace. God, he said, I wouldn't be nothing apart from grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And here's another thing about him. He started out, he says, I'm the least of all the saints. Then he said, I'm the chief of sinners. And then he says that I'm the least of this, least of that. But when he got done, you know what he says? I'm less than anybody else, though I be nothing. That's why he started out up here. And by the time he got done, he was down there. And oh my, he received grace and apostleship. And you know our Lord Jesus Christ, like our Master, grace came by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I've said, these verses should come, they should just touch all of our hearts. They really should. And it should make us consider and make us wonder about our own commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. We should all consider our own commitment to Christ. That's one thing that I think is very, very trying for me, for myself. But it's real trying on a preacher, real trying on Paul. Because he said in one place, he told Timothy, said, Timothy, there's no man like-minded with me in the gospel. Nobody else even thinks like I do. Nobody else acts like I do. Nobody else is interested in the gospel. And oh, he said, oh, I tell you, you know, God's called every single one of us, separated every one of us to himself. To himself. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I know that whatsoever I've committed unto him, he's able to keep it against that day. Now I tell you, it's this business of being a believer, being a Christian, it's a lifelong commitment to Jesus Christ. It really is. It's a commitment of the heart. It's a commitment of ourselves. And it's a sad, sad time when you see people that commitment just is gone. You know, you see people come and they stay for a long, long time, and they're there three services a week, and then it gets down to where it's one or two services a week, and then it gets down to where it's one service a week, and then sometimes it's not even that. Now, where's that commitment at? I'm not trying to chide you at all. But we all, by God's grace, we ought to wonder about. I wonder about my commitment to Christ. These fellas pray for me, and I said, boy, if they knew what I was really like, they'd really pray for me. They talk about it. But oh my, we ought to examine our commitment to Christ like Paul was. And then look at the source that God gave him this and provided him for to this apostleship that he has. He's talking about by whom? By the Lord Jesus Christ, by his resurrection of the dead, by whom we receive grace. I received this grace and this apostleship through the Lord Jesus Christ, from a risen, exalted Lord, from a Savior, that he received his position from a Savior, he received his authority. And we receive everything we've got from the same place. We receive it from the same place. Receive our call from the same source, from our Father, from Christ, who raised from the dead. We've received it. You know, it says he received it. We didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. We can only take it as it's given to us. And then it talked about he said, I'm an apostle. I've received grace and apostleship. I received it. And oh my, and then he says, you know, and here's something that I find kind of puzzling to me, grace and apostleship. Now, I tell you, you've got to have some power. You've got to be provided for to carry out the work God's appointed to him. And now Paul, you know, when he talks about grace, we receive this grace in apostleship. Our Lord Jesus Christ, John said this, he said, of his grace, we see grace for grace. And let me show you something over here in Ephesians 4. Look in Ephesians 4 with me. Look what it talks about, receiving grace. Receiving grace. Ephesians 4, 7. Look what it says. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now we all get a measure of grace. Christ is the one that gives it. And that's what Paul's saying, I received grace. I got my apostleship by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I became an apostle by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I became an apostle not because I did anything or accomplished anything or amounted to anything. I received my apostleship by the grace of Christ, a risen, exalted Savior. And oh my, and then look what he says. And he says, this is why I received it. So when I go preach for obedience to the faith, obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now, you know, faith. He said obedience to the faith. Now, when he talks about the faith here, he's talking about the gospel. He's talking about everything that we believe. It's obedience to the faith. And that faith is not just a personal faith, an objective faith, a personal faith and a subjective faith, but he's talking about what we have taught and what we've preached. When we come to the faith, when a person becomes to the faith, he's coming to everything that Christ has taught him. And every one of you all at one time or another has been somewhere and somebody asks you, what's your faith? What's your faith? And they're asking you what you believe. Most folks say, well, I'm Methodist. Talking to a fellow the other day, and he's talking about, going to he goes to a certain Methodist church. And I told him I was a preacher. Been in the same place 45 years, and he backed up a little bit and said, really? Yeah, walked off. didn't want to talk about anything else. But oh my, what I'm telling you is that everything we've got, we get it by grace. That's what he's talking about, grace. Grace. And it's obedience to the faith. When we talk about faith, I don't know how else to explain it. When we saw what we believe, we believe in Jesus Christ, the only Savior. No other Savior. There's nobody else that God will let us into his presence except through the Lord Jesus Christ. We all acknowledge we is like a prodigal son. We is all lost. And we was dead, but he made us alive. We was lost, but he found us. We believe that we are sinners, and we never become more than that. And if God didn't save us and keep us, we never get above being what we started out to be. And our Lord Jesus Christ taught us and makes us understand that he's everything and we're nothing. That he's all in all and we're nothing. That if he didn't give us grace, we wouldn't know anything. We wouldn't believe him. We wouldn't know we were sinners. We wouldn't know Christ as a Savior. We wouldn't know God is sovereign. We wouldn't know the Bible from a road map. And the only reason we do that is because we were bit obedience to the faith. And that's why, how many people in here, when they first started believing, and God started teaching them something, and it's like you got a brand new Bible? Because you'd read your Bible and read your Bible and read your Bible, and you find out, you open it up, and I see things that's never been there before. You get a new book. That's the way I was. I preached works for years. I was a legalist, a fundamentalist. Until one day God crossed my path with the gospel, crossed my path with the truth. And the first truth he crossed my path with was that I was unable to do anything for myself. I couldn't do nothing for myself. And that's what we're talking about. So when we come to the faith, we come to the realization that salvation is of the Lord from Alpha to Omega. That's the long and short of it, if I can say it that way. That if the Lord don't save us, we're going to get saved. If the Lord don't keep us, we're not going to be kept. If the Lord don't teach us, we're not going to be taught. And that's what Paul said. He said, obedience to the faith. We're at wherever I go, among all nations, wherever I go, if I go to Galatia, I'm going to preach the gospel. If I go to Colossae, I'm going to preach the gospel. I come to Rome, I'm going to preach the gospel. And I tell you what, I'm going to preach the faith, and by God's grace, you'll be obedient to that faith. It's not you have faith and then you start being obedient. You get faith, and that faith causes you to be obedient to that faith. And you know what people do that's obedient to the faith? They say, preacher, I won't be baptized. I won't confess my faith in Christ. And that's the first thing they'll say, I won't confess my faith in the Lord. That's what it is, obedience to the faith. Obedience to the faith. And the place is that, you know, among all nations. And you know why he says that? Because God's got people everywhere. Got people everywhere. Oh my. He has people. The gospel is universal. It's the same for all are the same. All are the same. And the motive for this preaching is, and the motive is preaching this obedience to the faith among all nations, and the motive is for his name. For his name. Because of his name, for his glory, for his honor, that he gets all the glory. Everything that's going to be done is going to be done in his name. Going to be done for the sake of his name. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And he says that we do, the motive for everything we do is Jesus Christ, his name. And God gave him a name above every name, that one of these days, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Huh? I'm going to like that. Me and Bruce Crabtree was talking the other day, and we was talking about people coming to Christ, and the motive for coming, and the Lord Jesus Christ being the motive. And we was talking about that, and he said, you know, he said, if God didn't call us, we would never listen. We'd never have any idea what was going on. And it's what he said, you know, said, if the Lord hadn't separated us to himself, said, we'd have never separated ourselves. Would you have said, well, I'm gonna start going to church because I want to be a believer? No, no. God brought you in to make you a believer. That's a difference in that. You know, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to start listening so I can become a believer. God brings you in to make you a believer. That's a world of difference in that, ain't it? That's a whole horse of another color. Well, our Father, oh, our Lord and our God, our Master, oh, our Lord Jesus Christ, you're our Master, you're our Lord. And Lord, we, speaking for myself, Lord, I do want to have a heart that is committed to you, your precious word, your gospel, to your people. And Lord, I thank you for your dear saints. Oh, there's nobody like your people. No matter where they're at, there's just nobody like them. Nobody like the Lord Jesus Christ saints. People you separated unto yourself that receive grace, receive their calling, receive their separation by you. And Lord, I pray that you'd cause this little message tonight to be a blessing, to be an encouragement, to build up your saints in the faith. And Lord, if I said anything that I shouldn't have said, please forgive me. And Lord, please bring glory to yourself through all of us here, all of us, all of us. And do it for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Good night, and God bless you. See you, Lord willing, Wednesday. You all remember Joe in prayer, and and Fran.